way to go.
It's so good to be with you today. I'm Rosalie.
I'm Robert.
We are the Owenses.
And it could be good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night.
Could be whatever it is anything. Where you are.
Buenos
dias, dois.
Tardes. I don't know.
I don't know either. I just hope that you're having the most beautiful weather day as we are. The temperature's great, the sun is out, but a little bit windy.
Oh, yeah. This time of year around here, the wind blows all the time.
It's amazing. Just amazing.
Yeah.
But we're having a great day, and we hope you are too. And we're going to come to you today with some song, the word, and a reading out of one of Robert's books.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a discussion of the word. I'm so excited to get into the word. I couldn't hardly stand waiting to get into the word this morning.
Amen. Well, you want to get into the word before the songs or after the songs? It doesn't matter. We could do either way. I mean, we're very pliable, amenable.
There's nobody here directing us.
No, right. You haven't sent us any comments. You
know, I know. And until they do, we're stuck.
I know. We got to. You could tell it. Tell us. Do the songs first. No, do the Bible first. Whichever you want, we would do it. We would. I mean, gosh.
We'd be so glad to hear from you. Yes, we would.
Yeah.
However.
Oh, I hear some music.
I hear the keyboard.
I hear the keyboard.
The keyboard playing.
Well, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. It was just being tired. I'm gonna praise His name. Each day just the same. So come on and praise Him. Come on and praise Him. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
Wait a minute, hold it. You know, not a lot of people. You watch a football game or a basketball game or any kind of them ball games. You know, people are cheering and shouting and jumping and screaming and everything. You go to a fight, anything. I mean, everybody's so excited. But, you know, here's Jesus. Oh, all he did was save me from going to hell. You know, all he did was
heal my mind.
Oh, I don't want to get all loud about that. Come on, take it up to the rooftops. Shout it. Yell it. Jesus! I mean, we could just let people know what Jesus has done for us. What's He done for you? Anybody out there, come on, raise your hand. Raise your hand if He's touched you. Raise your hand. Has He healed you? Raise your hand. Has He saved you?
Hallelujah.
Is that worth talking about?
Yes.
Is that worth telling people about?
Yes.
Is that worth looking at? Well, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. My body, He touched my mind. He saved me. It was just in time. So I'm gonna praise His name. Each day He's just the same. So come on and praise Him. Come on and praise Him. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done. Yeah. I mean, look what the Lord has done. Oh, praise God. You know, He's blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. You know, there's a little story that goes with this song.
Oh, yeah, there is.
There's a little story. I started out and usually Rosalie finishes it up. Well, there came a time.
When Robert was really depressed.
I was really depressed. You know, I was going through, we had just closed down a church that God told us to
close
down. And He told us to close it down. We closed it down when He told us.
And there's still people in attendance.
So yeah, we weren't broke or anything. We were doing okay. But He said, close it down. And it was the most miracle-working church we've ever pastored. There were some great things happened through that church. Mm. And I was really depressed about it.
Well, gosh, he was really depressed about it.
I was dragging out.
It was hard for me to get up in the morning.
Yeah, you know, and poor Rosalie, she was just valiantly trying to cheer me up and everything, and I was just...
just really depressed.
And, well, I just should have gotten out of the way of the Lord sooner, probably. You know, you look back now and you think, well, I probably didn't handle
you
that
quite
right.
You were in his way?
Of getting to you. Yeah, because I couldn't get to you. He had to get to
you.
Right,
yeah. So what happened?
So I got up one morning and I just looked in the, went to the bathroom, looked in the mirror, was getting ready to go to work, and I thought, and I said out loud, Lord, I just can't do this any longer. And it's like he came down and he stood right next to me in the bathroom, how dare he, and said, do what? Look at you. You are so blessed. Who dressed you this morning? Who just got done brushing your teeth? You know? I mean, he just pointed out to me over and over again, I'm blessed. I don't need to worry about anything. I'm blessed. So I went to work. The first person who asked me, how are you? I said, I'm blessed. And that birthed the whole thing.
Amen. And you know, think about it. Here in America, our standard greeting is, hi, how are you? And nobody cares how you are.
Oh, they just walk away. They go, okay, I'm good.
And they just say it, you know. And as a matter of fact, when I say it to people, you know, they say, well, you know, I'm doing okay. And then I'll ask, can I pray for them? But when they ask me, how are you? I say, well, I'm blessed. You know, because I don't want to go around trying to shove the gospel down people's throat. I've tried that. It doesn't work all that good usually.
No, it usually doesn't.
But when somebody asks you a question, you have every right to answer it truthfully. So when they say, how are you? And I say, I'm blessed. A lot of times people will say, why? Or what for? You know? And I'll tell them. And it's really a good thing. Matter of fact, here's another little story along the way. I was teaching in a public school, and I had this watch that Rosalie had gotten me that said, Jesus saves on it. And the kids in that school were always asking me what time it was. And I'd pull up my shirt sleeve and show them my shirt and say, well, there you go, what time is it? And they'd look at it and say, well, do you think that's true or do you believe that? And I'd share the whole gospel with them. And kids were, it averaged, matter of fact, when I left there, it averaged one kid every month got saved in there. One, you know, amazing stories. And they called me in the office and said, you can't be doing that. You can't be telling the gospel in a public school like this. I said, hey, wait a minute. People are asking me what time it is, and I just show them my watch, and they ask me a question. I'm a teacher. I've got to give them the best, truest answer I can, and that's all I'm doing. And they thought about it for a while, and they said, well, I guess you're just answering a question. And they let it go, you know. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Now this song here, we had these wonderful people come to this church. Matter of fact, the one we shut down, these people came and started coming to the church. A little old man, little old lady, probably about the age we are now.
Oh, I know. It's not funny to look at it that way.
Yeah, back then we thought, oh, these poor old decrepit old people crawling in here. And we're probably that old now. But they came in and they were from so far back in the hills, the Ozark Mountains, that they had handwritten hymnals from their church. And they had all these songs in them we had never heard before, and this is one of them. And it came along right at the time of these stories that we told you.
I'm blessed, and I know that I am, since Jesus took control of my life. I'm blessed.
About it. When you wake up in the morning, there's a blessing.
Amen.
There's a whole lot of people wish they would have woke up this morning because they ended up someplace they didn't want to be. You know, there's a whole lot of people wish they would have dressed themselves this morning. A whole lot of people, you know, wish a whole lot of things. And as they always used to say in church, it could have gone the other way.
For sure.
Amen. Now, this is one of our homegrown songs. And it's sort of along the lines of why are you sitting here? You know, you're sitting here listening to this, whatever you're doing. Now, podcasts, people do them while they're walking around, driving, doing all kind of things, working. You know, but whatever you're doing, just stop and think about it. God knew you were going to be doing that. He knew you were going to be listening to this podcast before the foundation of the world. It took every step you ever took to be where you are right now. And that's what this song is sort of about. Life, it can seem so long to write, and don't do wrong, cause nothing brings it back once it is gone. Have you ever lived your life so high that winning was an in the cards? Supposed to do. When Jesus left this earth, that's the last thing he said to his followers. He said, go and be my witness. Now, you know, if you have a job and you don't do your job, you know what happens? You don't get paid. You don't get paid. Well, Jesus gave us a job, and guess what? There's a payday coming someday. And believe me, payday is coming someday. And no matter what you do, whether you do the job or you don't do the job, you are going to get your pay on payday.
Yes. And when the Lord says, witness for me, he doesn't mean go tell people all about me. He means go tell people what he's done for you. Because that's the only thing we can speak to, is what God has done for me.
Really, what does a witness do? They can only testify of what they personally know.
Right.
I mean, if you go in, no hearsay accepted, we always see that on Law and Order and everything. No hearsay witness here. You know, and that's all we can do. And, you know, really, if you want to share the gospel, if you want to share Jesus, it's like when, I know when I got saved, when we were saved together, we're together saved. We want to tell people, we want to see other people know the joy of their salvation. Well, you know, there's an old saying, you draw more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. So, you know, you may not save a whole lot of people by standing on a corner yelling, hey, you dirty, rotten sinners, you're doing everything wrong, and you're going to go to hell. Now, that may save somebody. One of my favorite preachers in the whole world, R.W. Schombach, says that's how he got saved. He was walking down the street, and some street preacher's up on a soapbox or something yelling, hey, you sinner, come on back here, you're going to go to hell. And that's what caught him right there, and he knelt down and got saved right at that soapbox. But it may work sometimes, but guess what? It may not work a whole lot.
No, I don't think in today's world, standing there calling people sinners
and yelling
is a good idea. No. But you know, when I was told I was a sinner, I said, what the heck are you talking about? I'm not out stealing and robbing and killing and doing stuff like that. What do you mean I'm a sinner? I didn't grasp it.
You know the thing that really ties it in a bow for me? The 10th commandment. There's all those commandments about, you know, do not fornicate and do not commit adultery and do not take God's word, name in vain and all this kind of stuff. But the 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet. That's not saying you shouldn't steal. He said that before.
Correct.
But don't covet. That just means to desire somebody else's stuff. That's internalizing it. And Jesus does that in several places in the Gospels where he says, you've heard it said, if you murder somebody, it's sin. I'm telling you, if you hate somebody, it's sin.
Yes, and when you say covet, it doesn't mean covet a person. It could be anything.
Anything.
Anything that you desire, really, really desire, that you're kind of hanging on to that you don't have.
Right, you could covet success.
Yes.
You could covet, you know, fame. You could covet anything at all. Covet good looks. You could covet losing weight. You could covet anything.
Oh, gosh.
I hit a nail on the head. Well, we're going to go into the Word now.
Okay.
And you might want to get your Bibles. As a matter of fact, go get your Bible. And whatever translation you're using, just follow along. We're going to be reading out of the message, which is modern English translation, modern American. And we're going to look into Luke chapter 6, which I don't know how you guys read the Bible out there. Are you gals? Are you human beings? Are you, if there's any of them or they's listening? Yeah. Whoever's listening, I don't know how you read the Bible. But myself, I get hung up in stuff. Like I've been hung up in Proverbs for maybe at least 2 or 3 years. Every day I read a chapter out of Proverbs. You know, and then I've been hung up in Luke chapter 6 for, oh gosh, it's got to be going on a year. Every day I read Luke chapter 6, I just get hung up in it, you know. And here out of Luke chapter 6, looking at verses about verse 21 through 23, starts out saying, you're blessed when you've lost it all. Now, that doesn't equate to the American mind.
Yeah.
You know, because in America, everybody wants everything. You know, I want everything I want, and I want it now. You know, but this is saying, you're blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. In other words, if we get our mind off all this stuff, we can maybe get our mind on God's kingdom. He says, now this is a verse that really hit me. He says, you're blessed when you're ravenously hungry, then you're ready for the messianic meal. That was a big part of my salvation story is that in my life, when I was at a place where I thought I should have had it all together, all I could think of was, I got to try something because I was miserable. I mean, I was absolutely miserable. Nothing I had made any sense or made me happy or made me feel fulfilled. All I kept thinking was, I got to try something. Till finally I got to a place where I was beyond myself and past everything I could have. And I heard somebody say, why don't you try God? And I turned to that voice, and following that voice led me to finding Jesus. You know, not that he was lost, I was lost. He knew where I was all the time. But
Robert, what is the Messianic meal?
The Messianic meal is actually, I believe, that's the meal at the end of time when all are gathered together in the kingdom. It's referred to in Psalms, the second Psalms, when these people are all saying, let's get away from God, let's forget about the Messiah. And God says, don't you know that there's a victory banquet spread for the Messiah right now? And that, I believe, is the Messianic meal at the end there, when we all gather together and have an agape love feast with God himself. That's what I feel. But to me, it meant walking into the family of God, accepting him and being adopted in. The next one says, you're blessed when tears flow freely. Joy comes in the morning. If anybody out there, have you ever wept before the Lord, just wept?
From deep down in your spirit.
Man, I know.
It's an incredible experience.
It is. It's not like crying. Mm-mm. Weeping is not like crying. It's somewhere from deep down in your soul. But it says, you're blessed when tears flow freely. Joy comes in the morning. Praise you, Jesus. It does. Then he says, count yourself blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out. Every time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me. Not when they're just doing it because we're no count,
mm-hmm.
but when they're doing it, when they're doing it to discredit Jesus. What that means is that the truth is too close for comfort and that person is uncomfortable. And boy, if you've ever tried to share the gospel with people, or you've ever had people just come against you for no reason, but it's just because you're living a Christian, maybe a sanctified life in their presence, they can't handle it, you know. Mm-hmm. And when they come against you because of that, you know, and they're uncomfortable, he says, they may not like it. You can, but when that, be glad when that happens. You can skip like a lamb if you like. For even though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. For know that you are in good company. My preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this. You know, and go back and read 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles and see how the prophets and the witnesses of the Lord were treated. I mean, Jeremiah, they threw him in a cistern knee-deep in the mud and left him there to die. You know, all these people that they chased Isaiah, he had to hide in a cave, had birds come and feed him because they were out to kill him. You know, and just think of your own life if you've tried to share the gospel. Or you've lived a godly life in an ungodly world, you have already experienced persecution.
So when you're walking around going, oh, I can't figure out what I did, what did I do, why did they treat me like this, what did I do?
Yeah.
What you did was stood firm for the Lord, whether it was in word or in deed or just, you know, your presence.
Right.
When we're filled with the Holy Ghost, sometimes our presence convicts other people.
Yes, because the Spirit in them...
Is
doesn't like the spirit that's in us.
That's right.
You know, so if you're in a place where your own family is keeping you at arm's length, you know, treating, giving you the stink eye and all that kind of stuff, God said it was going to happen. He said he didn't come to bring peace but a sword, dividing even mother and child, you know, relatives, brothers and sisters, dividing them. And that's just a spiritual thing. But count it all joy.
And embrace that person.
Yes, embrace
them. As hard as
it
might be, because I've been in a situation recently where it was really hard, because I just knew the people didn't like me.
Yeah.
But I was not going to show them the Lord's love.
And Rosalie did very good in that situation. It was a blessing. I was blessed by watching her. It was just a blessing. You know,
it was God through me. I didn't do anything.
Amen. It was fabulous. But, you know, later on in the same verse, it talks about, you know, same chapter. If you love the lovable, what do you want, a pat on the back?
Yes.
You know, if you're good to people who are good to you, what do you want, a medal? It says garden variety sinners do that. You know, and that's what this is all about. You're blessed. It doesn't matter how other people treat us. We're blessed because God says we're blessed. And remember, there is a reason that you're breathing. Mm-hmm. You're not here, you're not a mistake, and you're not here for no reason at all. There is an important reason that you're still on this planet. Could have gone another way, you know. You didn't have to wake up this morning. Nobody promised us tomorrow. Matter of fact, they didn't even promise us today. You know, it isn't God here today, gone tomorrow. It really is usually here today, gone today. And, you know, there's a reason. And God's got that reason. And that's for us to be his witnesses.
Yeah, go down to verse 27 through, starting at 27, it says, To you who are ready for the truth, I say this, love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer for that person.
Amen. That is such wisdom. You know, if people are being mean to you, pray for them.
Yep.
People have been neglectful of you, pray for them. You know, to me, the strongest, the most, what strikes me every time I read that verse, which is every day, says, for you who are ready for the truth.
Yes.
He's not speaking to everybody
No.
here.
No.
He is not. You know, it's like a lot of times we see these scenes or you watch The Chosen or think about the gospel days and Jesus preaching to all these people. He wasn't talking to everybody. He was talking to the people who came to hear him.
Yes.
And in places like this where this is in the Sermon on the Mount, he's just talking to his disciples, mm-hmm. not to the world at large. And he says, to you who are ready for the truth. And praise God, get yourself ready.
Amen.
Get yourself ready.
Amen.
Amen. So hope that blessed you as it blessed us.
Amen.
And now we're going to go on. We're going to have a reading. The book Faith, remember I have a series of books, three books, Faith, Hope, and Love. This is out of the first volume, Faith. And they're all made up of essays about Christian living and Christian life. And hope you enjoy it. Here it is. When asked by the Barna Group, do you have a personal responsibility to share your faith with others? A majority of Christians answer in the affirmative. 100% of evangelicals and 73% of born-again Christians said yes. When this conviction is put into practice, however, the numbers shift downward. Only 69% of evangelicals and 52% of born-again Christians say they actually did share the gospel at least once this past year to someone with different beliefs in the hope that they might accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Born-again Christians were defined in these surveys as people who said they have made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ that is still important in their life today, and who also indicated they believed that when they die, they will go to heaven because they had confessed their sins and had accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Respondents were not asked to describe themselves as born again. Being classified as born again is not dependent upon church or denominational affiliation or involvement. Evangelicals meet the born-again criteria described above, plus seven other conditions. Those include saying their faith is very important in their life today, believing they have a personal responsibility to share their religious beliefs about Christ with non-Christians, believing that Satan exists, believing that eternal salvation is possible only through grace, not works, believing that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life on earth, asserting that the Bible is accurate in all the principles it teaches, and describing God as the all-knowing, all-powerful, perfect deity who created the universe and still rules it today. Being classified as an evangelical is not dependent upon church attendance, the denominational affiliation of the church attended, or self-identification. Many people have a hard time sharing their faith in Christ. They feel as if they don't want to be perceived as pushy. Possibly, they're afraid to speak to strangers, or they don't know how to get a conversation to a place where speaking about faith might be appropriate. Here's an easy, comfortable way that my wife introduced me to many years ago. In America, a common greeting is, "Hi, how are you doing?" Most people really aren't concerned with how you're doing. It's just a greeting. However, when someone asks us a question, we're free to answer it, and it's a natural and comfortable thing to do. Whenever I'm asked America's greeting, "Hi, how you doing?" I answer, "I'm blessed." The reactions are very interesting. Some just give a quizzical look. Some say, "You are?" which is another question. And as in the initial situation, answering a question is an easy, natural thing to do. I'll answer, "You are," with something like, "I am, and I won't accept anything less." Some people will answer this with another question, something like, "Why are you blessed?" And this opens the door for easily speaking about Jesus gave it to me and the world can't take it away, or some other friendly answer that leads directly to speaking of Jesus. Not often, but every once in a while, it leads to an actual chance to share the hope of the gospel. If nothing else, it opens the door to speak the name of Jesus in public. And you never know who might be listening and what the sound of that name may have in the ripple effect of reality. Sometimes our initial response of, "I'm blessed," is met with, "I am too." This opens a door for fellowship with a fellow believer and the collateral opportunity for others to hear people who aren't afraid to share their faith in public, and another opportunity to speak the name of Jesus into the air of a world that needs him. This type of conversational evangelism is reflected in one t-shirt I own. It says, "I'm blessed," and then under that large headline it offers an answer to anyone who might ask why. You better ask Jesus. It's also reflected in the words of an old song from the hills of Missouri. "I'm blessed, and I know that I am, since Jesus took control of my life. I'm blessed, and I know that I am, since he gave to me a new life. I'm blessed, and if you happen to ask, how am I, my friend? I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed." So for any of us who find it hard to get started with sharing the good news of the gospel with others, why not give "I'm blessed" a try and see how it works out for you? And when we say "I'm blessed," remember, we're just saying it because we are. Then get ready to walk through any doors God decides to open. Like I say, I'm blessed, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Thank you, Robert, for not only writing that, but for sharing it over the air. I appreciate it very much. It is a great book, y'all, and you can purchase it through Amazon by going to
the search line and just put in "faith" and Dr. Robert Owens. You have to put in Dr. Robert Owens behind the word "faith," mm-hmm. or else they don't usually bring out my books.
Okay. I'm laughing because I looked at him and it took him a long time.
How long was it? Did it? Come on, somebody go back.
It was a few seconds. It was a few seconds.
But it was long seconds. They weren't short seconds.
It seemed like it to me. So we hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget to contact us. Please, please feel free to contact us with comments, requests, whatever you want to talk to us about. Go to the webpage and go to
itookarightturn.com, and there's a place that says contact. Just click on that, and there's a form like everybody's familiar with. Give us suggestions about what to talk about or what songs. We've got a lot of, we'll do songs. Suggest songs. We'll do them.
Then you might not know what to suggest.
Yeah, I can't play Beethoven at all. Not even his hits. I don't even play his hits. But anyhow, it's been wonderful being here with you.
Yes, it has. And we love you. We really do. We love the opportunity, and we thank God for the opportunity to serve in this little way.
Yes.
Maybe bring some joy and his word into people's lives.
And just to let you know, the whole reason we're doing this podcast is because God told Rosalie we should do this podcast. It took about a year for him to come around and tell me. she told me God told her to do it, and I thought, well, okay, he didn't tell me nothing, but I trust Rosalie. I know she hears from the Lord. So we got it all together and did our first season, and our first season was...
Not so hot, because Robert really wasn't convicted of it yet.
Yeah, I was just doing it. But then in between that and our second season, God spoke to me in a mighty way. And matter of fact, turned my life around in many ways. And we're doing this because God told us to do this. And we're not ashamed to say that or afraid to say that. People might say, you mean God talks to you? Well, yeah, he does in a whole lot of ways. And I know he speaks to a lot of them we're listening to. And when he does, listen to him and do it. We don't know what this podcast is doing or what it will turn out to do. But we just know God told us to do it. So we're doing it. And we're hoping that it's blessing you. Remember, that's what this was all about today. You're blessed.